It is Locked On Jazz for the 13th of March, a night none of us will forget, a sports league and sports world changed, and what's ahead. We'll talk about all of it coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. First off, on behalf of myself, all of our broadcast partners who we spent this time with, the support, the questions, the hope you're all right, thank you. Cannot appreciate it more. Here's what I want to do today. I want to just share our experience. I don't have any great opinions on what's taking place. I mean, it seems a lot of it just kind of seems intuitive, and hopefully we move out of it well over time. And then I think I wanted to share what we're planning to do with the podcast. I could dig into like what I think happens when the season restarts and if the season restarts, but that seems to be, first of all, we can talk about it. We'll have time. And two, I don't know a great deal. So all of that would be incredible speculation. So let's not do that. Let me just share the day. Shoot around. Emmanuel Mudiay and Rudy Gobert are ill and not at shoot around. That's frankly not uncommon. Actually, I was thinking about it. I feel like it's happened less this year than other years. But it's not uncommon at all, that one of our players is, you know, kind of the first thing you do when you go to any shoot around, check and look. And in this case, the five that walked out on the floor included Tony Bradley. And you're like, oh, whoa, Rudy's not here. And then you suddenly realize that the next five came out on the floor, the bench unit was on the floor, and Emmanuel wasn't there. So you just do that. Like as someone watching shoot around, you're always taking that check. No thought of it. You change your prep for the rest of the day a little bit. I had a very normal day. It was beautiful in Oklahoma City and 70 degrees. So I walked back. We had started taking the media precautions already, where we were separating the media from the players by 6 feet. Instead of having interviews at the arena that day, they did them back at the hotel we were staying at. And so I thought that was, you know, I actually didn't participate in those that day. I walked back, did a phone call or two, worked on one or two preparation things to the game, and went to lunch, held a conversation with two or three fellow play-by-play announcers in the league on how we intended to do games without fans in the crowd. It seemed like that's where we were all heading that day. And, you know, what were they doing about sound mics and what were they going to do about location? I was very concerned. I'm so loud that if I'm on courtside down low because there's no one in the arena and then I'm that loud and, you know, like right side, Donovan Mitchell off the bounce three, no good. Donovan shooting 24% on his off the bounce threes recently. And Donovan turns around like, screw you. Like I was worried about that. So that was my day. Like we were preparing for the idea that there might not be fans. The NCAA, I think, had then announced, I mean, it was just a wild day, right? The NCAA, Ivy League had announced they were canceling. NCAA announced there were no fans. So we felt like we're heading that same, the goal. I talked to Tim Roy of the Warriors because city of San Francisco announced no fans. So that's where we were. That's where I was heading. So I was prepping for the game, doing that, all the regular stuff, and then went to the arena. Did the coaches show with head coach Quinn Snyder. We did the joint media again, same 6 feet separation that everybody had instituted by this point, and got into the broadcast. And, you know, the open of the broadcast was this uniqueness of these two teams that both have these unique characteristics. Both teams have three players that run a huge high-level pick and rolls in Ingles, Conley and Mitchell, and Gilgeous Alexander, Schroeder and Paul, and how they both do that. Both have these big rolling bigs that don't have a lot of offensive game, and they both have this defensive ability that the Jazz are the only team in the NBA that is in the top five in stopping shots at the rim and the three, and Oklahoma City's the only other team in the top 10. So there was like the broadcast setup. We're all ready. Everything's gone normal. And all of a sudden, like you see a huddle kind of in front of the scorer's table, and we should have tipped off by now. And I'm getting into something, and Ron actually is the one who saw it. Ron's pointing to me while I'm talking, and I'm, of course, digging into some esoteric garbage number that doesn't make any sense and is unnecessary. Probably the broadcast that I'm, you know, like have done and was going to, you know, share before the tip off and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. And Ron's pointing at me. And so all of a sudden it's clear that that there's a huddle going on amongst the officials and that there are two men in suits who, honestly, just because they were standing, I didn't recognize them, and they were standing on Oklahoma City's side, you knew they had come from Oklahoma City. So they started with one guy, and then they brought another guy over. And at this point, you do. It's kind of a crazy thing. I have Twitter lists and Twitter people, and so I am immediately now flipping to Twitter, which is a tough place to get news, but you're in this weird thing where you're live on the air, and you're not sure what's going on, so you want to, you know, if Oklahoma City new broadcast has something, you want that information. And then you have to trust who you take your information from, obviously, as a reporter. So you're watching that. Then they call Billy Donovan and Quinn Snyder over. In the meantime, Stephen Adams and Joe Ingles, just typical to their personalities, are like they're yelling across at each other and laughing and having a hoot to New Zealand and the Australian guy. And I'm actually kind of focused on that in our broadcast. Like, I'm talking about those two guys doing that and some of the fun interaction that's taking place, and the Jazz are in their purple uniforms and ready to go, and the Thunder in their white uniforms. And now this conversation continues and now has Quinn Snyder and Billy Donovan in it. And it's not a particularly long conversation at this point. And they suddenly all head back to their locker rooms. The officials call back to Secaucus, New Jersey, to inform them of what's going on. And I'll be honest, I actually took a really quick commercial break at that point to try to see if I could hear that conversation and know what was going on or find out something about that conversation. Didn't. They then announced in the arena that due to a medical issue, we're waiting for approval of the league to play. Or maybe they just said we're waiting for approval. Actually, now I can't remember. Funny how it all blurs. I'm actually glad I'm recording this because it's so fresh in my memory right now. I have a feeling in 10 years I'll have no memory at all since I can't remember a game from 2 weeks ago. So now we're on the air, and then we get asked to come downstairs at one point in the process. We've filled a few segments and are talking about it, and the Thunder mascot has thrown a million shots behind his back, and the Thunder dance team has come, little girls dance team has come out and done their halftime routine, and then some guys come out and tried to entertain. We're like, the arena is done with entertainment. It is now like that same music loop going, and it's like, oh wow, this is getting long. Then we get asked to come downstairs, and they have incredibly, I mean, this is where little tiny details of amazement by, I don't know, Steve Smith, our security guy, Eric Gordinho, I don't even know all the people I'm supposed to thank, our PR guy, Danny Franks, I don't know, but just unbelievable. There's a room for us, and the broadcast crews all come into this room, and Quinn Snyder comes in to address us and tells us what has taken place, and that Rudy at that time, I don't know if he told us Rudy or if a player, because of HIPAA laws, I think he might not have mentioned the name. I can't recall. And just tells us that a player has tested positive. I mean, you're down to two at that point, right? And that, you know, we're going to stay in this room and we'll see what happens. And I'll tell you what, there was, I thought that there were a few things that were like really impressive. Somebody asked, you know, can we tell our family? And like, the answer was, of course, like, they're part of our family. They're part of the group. Like, don't leave them hanging. Like, it's big news and stuff, but there was this trust and belief in your family and who you were and that you would do the right things. And, I thought that was really impressive. And so, you know, we just hung out and had two TV sets, and I will share, it's a weird experience when the news of the world is taking place and you're in the middle of it. So we, you know, had CNN on and had ESPN on, and we're watching the various reports, and some other time I'll tell an interesting to see like what reports are about you and some of the things we didn't know, some of the things we did know, some of the things we knew they were inaccurate. Like, it was an interesting experience. I would say I was generally really impressed by most of the reports seem to be right on, minor details here and there, but it was like, people were working hard. Reporters are good. Like, the media was on it. They're working hard and trying to be truthful and share information. It was impressive. So anyway, we And it was, you know what? I'll just share my personal feeling was there was, there was a moment of like shock, like, whoa, like, and then on a personal level, like a little bit of like unnerved. And I was like, all right, well, you got to call your, I call my wife, and my son was home alone. Like the biggest issue for me is my son was home alone that night. My wife's was out at a event for my daughter in Idaho. And so my son was home alone and I didn't know when I was ever getting home to be with him. You know, so like, frankly, just that was an issue for us was, okay, well, what are we doing about our son? And kind of my wife's very pragmatic and non-emotional. So we just got into that right away. But it, you know, I had to buck up for a second, like, okay, you got to sound solid. You're calling everyone and, you know, take your role as leader of the family. And though I'm not, she is, and, you know, act like you're not concerned. And I, you know, so, I would say, I don't know how to say this correctly. Like, you're just at this point where once you got settled, you're not in control of your life anymore. But I didn't have a great deal of concern. The people that were in control of my life, which were, ran from Quinn Snyder to Eric Waters and Mike Elliott, our doctors, to the Jazz organization back in Salt Lake, like that was fine. Like they're gonna take care of us. Like I didn't have any doubt. Quinn's leadership was really unbelievable. His communication to us was amazing. You knew we were in a separate room from the players, but you knew that they knew we were there. You didn't feel like you were gonna get left behind and left in this room for like 6 months or something. You know, you thought for a minute you might spend the night in that room. Like the worst things have happened. We could have handled it. I don't know. Kristen might talk in her sleep and Joe Kruger might snore louder than me, but okay, fine. Like there's like, I'm joking a little bit, but it's like, we would have been fine. It's a great group of people. Ron Thurl, Joe Kruger, Jeremy Brunner, Scott Rogers, Craig Bowlerjack, Kristen Kenny, and I were there. You know, if I'm going to be in a concrete bunker for a little while, it wasn't really that. It was nice. It's there, some VIP waiting room, probably. It's perfectly nice. It had its own bathroom. It was fine. Like there was nothing. It was the exact opposite than anything. Like we were being taken care of. They were aware of us. We had great leadership that was making sure we're going to be okay. Like it was, you just didn't know the timetable. So you just kind of had to sit back and in a midst of it, be understanding to that and patient, which is not necessarily my strength. Then, you know, as the night progressed, we, as you've all read about, we got tested and then they were able to move us to out of the arena and to a hotel. There's not a lot to share from that point. We all get our test results. You've read what the test results are. It's not my place to report them. There's HIPAA laws on that. Let me back up just kind of on the impressive level. We got briefed by the state of Oklahoma while we were at the arena. We got briefed, I think her name's Angela Dunn, Dr. Angela Dunn, who is just really impressive with her ability to convey confusing information. And the guy in Oklahoma was great too. Really that kind of Oklahoma friendliness to everything he was talking about, like just really good at calming and making sure everybody felt okay. So we got tested. We went to the hotel. And then we got word that we had another meeting and they had a conference call with someone for us for information. And then we boarded the buses and we flew home. We got back and had a long session with the Utah Health Services. Again, super informational and really insightful on what to be. I mean, there's so much information and we live in a doc immediate information society, and we literally live a little bit without filters of what's accurate and inaccurate. And so it was really wonderful to be that up to date and understand and feel comfortable. Fortunately, you know, most of us have not been in a 6 foot window for 15 minutes of time with the individuals that tested positive. So most of us actually don't have any type of like quarantine or self-quarantine. And hopefully I haven't talked with anyone about symptoms, but hopefully none of us have to go into isolation. So that's where it was. I really want to thank everyone for the support. On a personal level, I really would just say, like, I didn't know whether I was going to test positive or not. I spend a lot of time with everyone. But, like, you know, so if Derek Gordino or Quinn Snyder or one of those guys tested positive, then I thought there was a pretty good chance that obviously didn't happen. Like, just from what I'd read, people who I spend the most time with, you know, Ron Boone. And so I think there was, like, you were nervous about whether you might have it. I don't. And I think, you know, Ron's the oldest of the group, but he's healthier than all of us. So I would say that maybe I'm ignorant, but I wasn't, you know, oh, it sounds so scary. I didn't feel scared. I felt as though there were amazing people that were working every second of they could to make sure that we were being taken care of in an appropriate manner, in a safe manner, and trying to get us home. Like, I really felt that was the case. Like, and so I think for many on the outside, it was probably scarier, particularly my wife is never phased, but for my close friends and some of you, I classify as friends just because the amount of time we spend together and the way your messages to me, I think a lot of it might've been being outside might've been actually scarier than knowing how much everybody was in control and taking care of you and all that kind of stuff. So that would be my story for you. I hope that's all right. What now? Let's do that. So what now is we're doing calls on the Lockdown Podcast Network all day today. It's obviously unknown. We know what we're not going to have for 30 days. My goal and intention is to keep giving you information and giving you shows. We have a community and a connection. And sports is a release. And I think it's, well, you can, like, there's the phrase, we need sports. Okay, so what we need, what is that we're saying? What we're saying is we need a release. So I'm going to hope that Locked On Jazz and that the Locked On Podcast Network can act as that release in some fun, entertaining, creative manner. Do we do a 7 o'clock at night live chat one night when we all would have been watching a game? Do we just do our regular shows and do our Thursday live show and hang out? Do we not in person? We're not doing community hangouts. That was a joke. And coronavirus jokes really go over well these days. So you didn't laugh. Do we decide to choose the first of the final seasons and go back through it? And take, I don't know, I'm making this up, I'd love your suggestions, 15 game windows and do a show on those 15 games and interview Steve Loom and Kurt Cragthorpe and people, Craig Bowlerjack, who were there at the time. I've wanted to do an oral history of Utah sports radio. Like, do we suddenly do it somehow in some fashion? I don't know. These are like ideas. But I plan to still produce programming for you. I want to keep our connection and keep our lives together. I want to be a release. I think that there'll be plenty of things that take serious thought and concern and awareness over the next period of time. And so let's make sure that we're doing something together. Those are some of my ideas. Some of the things I was thinking about. That's my feeling. I'd love your suggestions. Feel free to email me at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com. But I'll be putting out programming. You know, I mean, I like Ron and Craig and Thurl and Matt and some of the guys you've met recently. Maybe we'll just get on the phone together. We'll record it, hang out, share what's going on, and share it with you. We'll see. But I'd like to keep it going. From a league standpoint, we've been told 30 days and then we'll see where we are. And I just don't think we have answers, right? We got to see how this plays out. See if we can flatten the curve. See if we can keep those people that are at high risk in our community safe. See if we can keep our hospitals from getting overloaded. and see if we can move forward through this. And then, you know, leagues will make their decisions. Again, thank you. Thanks to all the people, and I don't even know who they are, in the world, in the jazz world, that led us to, you know, and all the people in Oklahoma who I think did amazing things. You know, it felt as though Quinn Snyder's on-site leadership was, was very reassuring. I'm sure there were, I don't want to give him all the credit. I'm sure there were multiple other people that were doing incredible things as well. So that's kind of where we sit. Once we get rolling again, we'll get shows out. We'll talk about things. We'll do things. And we'll get the show going. I don't know exactly when. And I got to make sure I understand, you know, everything that we need to do. But I look forward to continuing to talk to you. Thank you so much. Feel free to email me at dlock09@gmail.com, and I look forward to talking soon.